it's crazy how time has flown. I look back at the WCW era and I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, I remember exactly where I was during that time. You know, I was in college and I was preparing myself because I knew it was going to happen. I had two VHS tapes going, one in my living room. We had a lot of people over at the house watching this historic night of WWE Raw.
Oh, man.
And I was going back and forth, and what, lo and behold, there was a point where I could actually go into my bedroom and see my living room feed and my bedroom feed at the same time and see the simulcast and see Shane McMahon and see Vince McMahon interacting on two separate networks on two different TVs in two different rooms. And it was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
I remember that is the one time I was literally like, this is fucking crazy that he's on their fucking show saying, well, look who bought Nitro. And I'm thinking, I can't believe this is happening. I cannot believe this asshole has done this, and now his evil ass is on their show. I don't know how he pulled this off. And then and everything went downhill, let's be honest, man.
It was crazy. Well, it was snake bitten after that because he had some shenanigans going on with the WCW crew that ultimately led to them not even being involved in the angle they had written for WrestleMania, one of the biggest WrestleManias of all time could have been.
Yeah, but they
and then come to find out that somebody, like, was it Sean Stasiak that screwed
it
up?
I'm sure Sean Stasiak screwed up something. You know, Raven said it best in a shoot interview. He said, you got to understand, Vince McMahon is literally crazy, and he doesn't care about money. And because he doesn't care about money, he was just going to squash him. Mm-hmm. So think of Vince's company as Vince, and then Nitro's guys coming in the invasion as a jobber. And he just squashed him in a minute on TV like the Road Warriors, okay? And that's what he wanted to do. And they really blew it. And then they had the draft. And then they blew that, which, you know, might, you know, be similar to something that might happen.
Maybe happen soon.
I don't know. I mean, will they blow it?
We're going to talk about all that here in just a little bit. This is Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of wrestling news and commentary with Al, John, and Stephen. We're going to get into the wrestling headline news as well as the WWE brand extension. We're going to talk about WCW and the Fight TV app and our promo of the week, the legendary Ric Flair, back on the podcast airwaves, as we had suspected, but not in a place that I would normally have expected.
My first interview is going to be with David Mannin at a bar.
Of course, which will be fine with me, actually. I don't have a problem with that.
Those two episodes are great. I just knew he was great, going to get fired.
Because David Mannin at a bar, drunk. So, allegedly. Allegedly. We are going to get to that in just a little bit. Now, ProWrestlingCast.com is your one-stop shop for all things wrestling. You love us. You want to support us. We would appreciate you giving us a subscribe, liking that video on YouTube as well as on iTunes. Our podcast is there. Also on Stitcher Radio. We appreciate that. We appreciate you subscribing and checking out our feed on the We Be Geeks network of podcasts. We're the only wrestling podcast there. So please go ahead and subscribe to us there if you choose. We also would appreciate you shopping there at ProWrestlingCast.com because we have our links to WWE Shop, because we have sales going on every single day. You can pick up t-shirts from our favorite wrestler, Shinsuke Nakamura. His t-shirt is selling out. Finn Balor, his shirt is selling out. Seth Rollins is doing great. And of course, the legendary and also controversial John Cena. So you can get the shirts for the kids, get shirts for yourself. Kevin Owens, you can get that shirt too, which would be great. So go ahead and support those superstars and support our show by looking and clicking on our link there to WWE Shop and WWE Network. So many of our friends are turning on and subscribing to WWE Network. And when you do click on our banner, the WWE make sure to show us a little bit of love by putting a few quarters in our tip jar, if you will, every time you subscribe or when you subscribe to the WWE Network. Also, if you love indie wrestling like we do, we love highspots.com. You can check out all the great shoot videos and wrestling events from former WWE superstars like Matt Sydal. You can check that out. You can also check out All of the great independent wrestling merchandise and shoot videos, DVDs and events. There's so many, like Matt and Jeff Hardy's promotion Omega. You can check that out and download a bunch of that stuff because it's pretty fun to watch. And then last but not least, Amazon. Amazon.com is a great place for you to check out all of the WWE merch. Believe it or not, you can click on that and buy championship replica belts. You can buy action figures. You can buy everything you could ever want or need through our Amazon site. Before you type in Amazon.com, click on our website, ProWrestlingCast.com, and simply click on our banner so that Amazon gives us a little bit of love and you show your support to the show that we deliver for you for free every single week. And now, on with the show.
Is this where the music plays?
It's where the music plays.
Okay.
No, it's no biggie.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm gonna reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
So once again, welcome back to the program. It's Aljon Go, lifelong wrestling fan and broadcaster, joined by my co-host who has not been suspended for underage shenanigans, the man with the glove of injustice, the heel commentator and wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you?
Yeah, well, Jerry Lawler is back on the show, so no ramifications on Earth, but most likely eternal ramifications for him later.
I loved what you said last week. If you haven't checked out last week's program, please do. Steven gets real with Jerry Lawler. And at the end of the day, we all answer for our own transgressions, if you will.
Allegedly.
We have a great week in wrestling news. WWE just finished their tour of Japan, which was great. If you're not following Shinsuke Nakamura on Instagram, you should, because his pictures are amazing.
Yeah, you're making a mistake if you're not following Nakamura on Instagram.
Actually, you should follow Nakamura. You should also follow Asuka, because Asuka just loves hanging out with Nakamura, because from my understanding, Asuka is being tutored in English by Shinsuke Nakamura.
Did you? I see. He's tutoring her after class. Yeah. Okay.
Oh man, I guess his milkshake brings all the divas to the barn, right?
Well, I don't see any other wrestlers constantly have pictures hanging out with him. Oh, yeah. Or with a wrestler. He's just always hanging out. Let's see, Peyton Royce, Bayley, Sasha Banks, who is kind of stalking him. Of course, Asuka. This man is a worldly man. You know, he's very cool racially. He's with all sorts of girls.
That's right. He does not have a prejudice. He likes all types of women.
Oh yeah, he has no prejudice whatsoever when it comes to kissing girls.
But they're all beautiful in their own way. Yeah, right. So we're gonna get into our wrestling headline news. Where shall we start? Steven, WWE in its brand extension is going to have their draft, and we know now that the draft is going to be happening on the first ever live SmackDown, right?
Yeah, they changed the date. They pushed it back. So what is that date, the 19th? No.
Yeah.
21st, 14th, 19th?
It's going to be happening. Oh shoot!
It's the 19th. It's the 19th.
Tuesday, July 19th.
Yeah.
Live draft is going to happen. We're going to find out what superstars, if any, are going to be called up from NXT, and then we're going to find out probably who's going to be running SmackDown and Raw, and it might be a situation where we find out who's running SmackDown and Raw on that Monday, and the draft will continue the following day. Begin that following day. Yeah. So it's going to be, I don't know. Now, we talked a little bit about this in weeks past. What do you think about this concept? Are they going to be okay? Apparently, according to reports, they may have learned from the last time they did a draft, but it is all still a work in progress. And you'll note that last week or 2 weeks ago, I had mentioned the fact that they have so many superstars coming back. And with the superstars coming back and with their plan derailed for this past WrestleMania, it looks like they know what they want to do and try to move their current storylines, merge it with the old storylines, and then also with the draft is kind of really complicated things with all three of them converging at the same time.
I don't know if this will work. I was the first person, darn it, to say that. Because it's hard to do, and I already see their track record. The previous draft in 2000, and was that two or one? No, it was in 2002, because that's when Hogan and Rock had their match, and the draft was soon after. They had Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Steve Austin, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Edge, Steve Regal, the Dudley Boys, Jeff Hardy, Matt. Okay, you know, they had a lot of people. Ric Flair, Vince McMahon. Ric Flair back when he was still the shit, and they couldn't pull it off. Now what they have to do, which is actually a lot more interesting to me, is make two brands and then take in probably one dozen NXT people. Now that sounded like it was going to be six. Now it's going to be a dozen. And we as fantasy bookers go, oh, this is so great. Nakamura versus John Cena. Bray Wyatt's going to feud with Finn Balor. Then he'll reform the Balor Club to take on the Wyatts. We have all these aspirations. Asuka's going to kick the shit out of, you know, Charlotte. But the fact of the matter is, that's another phrase I say too much. But the fact of the matter is, that's probably not going to happen. They're probably going to have too many cooks in the kitchen. I predict, okay, first of all, they moved the draft back 8 days, okay? Which is two shows, okay? Which is like a lifetime for them. And to me, showed their hand when Bayley, she did some house shows and she was supposed to, you know, I could just see that I saw there was some confusion on what to do with Bayley, whether to bring her up or how to bring her up or what to do or who should she job to in NXT. And then I heard they might bring up Nia Jax. When I heard that, I knew that they still didn't know what the hell they were going to do. It was a very simple philosophy of Rollins, Reigns on one show, Cena, AJ on the other, build around it. Sounds easy enough. But, I mean, we'll have to see.
Well, the problem is that everything affects attendance, you know,
of
their shows. You know, if you're a superstar, if you know that you're going to see every superstar, yes. It you know, those house shows, the live events, everybody's excited because there's that anticipation. Oh, I'm going to see the champion the championship belt being defended. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. There's a lot of disappointment from a lot of people. And Vince McMahon has always been known to say, I need a champion on every show to defend the title in order to make live events matter.
Right. People. And live events are way down.
Yeah.
3,900 is the average with Reigns as champion. The fucking failure, Reigns. Okay, because the ultimate gauge is the live attendance. Mm-hmm. It's always has been, ever will, ever shall be. You know, TNA sucks. Why does TNA suck? Because they can't put on a live event. Okay. 5,100 was about their average this time last year. 3,900. Sorry. Right.
No, you're absolutely right. If there's nobody you care, I mean, look, you know, there are people that I will pay to see and actually leave the house to see. Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, is going to be one. Sasha Banks, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles. Those are people I want to see, you know. Those are people you want to see.
Yeah, Naito. If Naito came in Ring of Honor in Nashville, I'm there. I don't think they would do that, but.
Well, I mean, you probably would. You know, Ring of Honor house show tickets are actually pretty reasonable.
No. But New Japan doesn't come to Nashville. I've noticed that with Ring of Honor.
With Ring of Honor, right. They're going to.
They go to Philly and New York and whatever.
So. That's right. So.
Because they don't like me.
So my situation is, you know, what are they going to do? I will be like you. I feel that I like the as a wrestling fan, I don't mind the brand extension. It's fine that there are two different drafts, and I want to see superstars on both shows because I want to see further of different storylines and character development. However, I'm not your average wrestling fan, right? And
you're smart.
Well, the draft.
That's what's different.
The draft in and of itself, by its very nature, is going to alienate people, and it's going to cause people to choose. And according to a recent podcast that that I heard, I think it was another. Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember who it was. I knew that it was another Torch podcast that they had recently. But they were talking to another former creative member. It wasn't Court Bauer. It was someone else.
Lagana.
It wasn't Lagana. But anyway, suffice it to say, I'm going to look it up so I can quote him properly. But it was,
Was he around during the first draft? Because the first
draft. Yes, he was around during the first draft, yes.
The first draft versus the new draft is really what people need to look at. Because, you know, people go, if you do the same thing twice, you're crazy. Well, they do the same thing over and over again. That's kind of Vince's thing.
It was Kevin Eck.
Okay. So,
which
remember.
If you if you listen, that he used to be one of the main writers of SmackDown during the draft period, and the Kevin Eck interviews that Wade Keller does are actually really, really good. So I suggest you seek him out. But he did say that Vince, not only does Vince have an affinity for having the championships, having separate championships or a championship. Which could be the reason why they started using that nomenclature of WWE champion instead of World Heavyweight Champion.
Right. They just stopped that.
They just stopped it this week. So
yeah, that's all the proof you need.
Yeah, that could be. That could be the telltale sign that they don't intend to have a floating champion.
No, they're going to draft two champions.
Yeah, this is. I mean, I prefer the floating champion because then it makes sense for the WWE champion, the women's champion, and the tag team champions to float back and forth between shows, because I don't necessarily like the fact that they have multiple titles. Mm-hmm. You know, so where are you going to draft? And this is a problem with the draft now. So now you're going to reestablish another belt, or are you going to bring back the World Heavyweight Championship, which I believe that's what they're going to do.
They're going to bring back Harley Race's world title.
Yes.
I don't know. Do you reestablish a SmackDown 2016 belt? Because before, you kind of had this old, cool, huge-ass WCW belt to use.
Which I loved.
Yeah, it's a great-looking belt.
It's my favorite championship of all time.
It's a beautiful belt. It looked too big on Sting. It's so big. Not that Sting's a small guy, but yeah.
But, you know, that's where it really changed, because the old title belts used to be very small, like the NWA or the Eagle belt that the WWF had. They were pretty small, but then you come out with the biggest looking piece of hardware and jewelry ever made, which is that heavyweight championship, and everything had to be bigger as a result of that championship.
Hey, bigger is better, you know.
Well, but, was it 15 pounds of gold, however much they say it was? I don't know how heavy that
belt was. Is it really made of gold? They used to have to put down a $25,000 deposit to have the belt. That's a big part of Ric Flair leaving WCW in 1991. And then Bill Watts coming in, he actually wrote Ric Flair a check for $37,000. Kind of interesting. He's like, here's your money plus interest when Flair came back. Mm-hmm. Because that was the title lineage. That's how important that belt was. You know, like, okay, you're going to be the champion. We're going to need $25,000. That's what they would do. So you'd give them $25,000. So Jack Briscoe would give $25,000 to the NWA, and then he would be the champion and be on the road. And when he lost the belt to, Harley Race, probably he would get the money back.
Yeah. One of the most expensive titles ever, but okay. So your thoughts on this, I think, like I said, I'm in favor for it, but I am not your average fan. I think average fans are going to, I think they're going to tune in for the drama, but when it's all said and done, they may not come out to see their favorite superstars, and they definitely may not come out to watch them. And then, of course, Vince McMahon, you know, he's going to have to establish another belt to have it defended, or championship to have it defended. And I just don't know what's going on there.
Injuries will be the culprit of everything. This is what will happen exactly. I'll tell you exactly what will happen. Okay, because I'm always 85%. Mm-hmm. They'll have the draft. It'll be a fantastic show. Everyone will be excited and say, this is probably the best SmackDown I've ever seen. Except for when Rikishi fought Triple H back in... Okay, that's what they'll say. Then they'll have Raw, and Raw will be a really good show, but a few analysts will go, I don't know if this is going to work. Then they'll have the first SmackDown split, and it'll be pretty cool and interesting. Then they'll have the third SmackDown, and then you'll notice, you're like, oh, so we're settling into this? And then 2 months later, Randy Orton's shoulder will come out of socket again, and Nakamura will get hit by a train, and Finn Balor will hurt his ankle, and then the new champion will be Mr. Kennedy. You know what I mean? Like something awful will happen because of it, and then it'll suck.
And then Kurt Angle will appear with Kurt MVP Angle and the Hardys, and it's going to be another one of those shows. So.
Trusting Kurt Angle is not – it's hard to do. I believe they talk to him, but why would you go and talk about it? Why would you – that's probably why they didn't end up doing it.
Well, I think I think they might actually still end up. They apparently reached out to a lot of former WWE talent, one of them being Kurt Angle. I wonder if other talent was contacted, like a who else would be, like an RVD perhaps?
Yeah, I promise you RVD was contacted. I don't have that in writing. I promise you Tommy Dreamer. I know Tommy Dreamer was. Stevie Richards, which is a really strange one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a few like old timers that were, but you know what, the thing is that those guys actually still look good, and I mean Stevie Richards still looks good.
Richards has been able to keep his look steady for into his 40s. Maybe not Tommy Dreamer.
Well, yeah, Tommy's, you know, if you saw Tommy Dreamer in his Edge and Christian show appearances, it is very comical, but we all love Tommy Dreamer.
We love Tommy Dreamer. He eats a lot of tacos late at night.
I don't blame him, to be quite honest.
Such as myself. But what do I think will happen? It'll deplete. Okay, so that'll happen. So SmackDown, it'll have a blip and maybe level back off, and then Raw will be depleted with some new people inserted. Their ratings will continue to go down. And then NXT will have all these independents come in. We're starting to see them, like Biff Music came in and all this shit. And NXT will be really interesting and awesome. So to go back to what it did before, I'll be bored by Raw. SmackDown will have the same rating, and NXT will be my favorite show. So it will remain exactly the same, except they'll lose money from having to do a live taping on Tuesday. I think SmackDown's rating will go up a little. But I think so. Who cares?
Right. Well, you know, yeah, you have to wonder if there was just irreparable damage done because of how they've treated SmackDown as a bastard stepchild in the past.
They've been treating it like that for off and on for a decade, mostly for a decade. There's been times when SmackDown was, you know, 2003 was a pretty strong year.
Paul Heyman.
2002 was great. Yeah. Paul Heyman era was great because they gave Heyman all these guys. He had Edge, Mysterio, Matt Hardy, Chris something, and I forget his last name now.
Yeah,
and it was a great show. Okay, and then they took him out of the position, you know. But there have been times when SmackDown has been very good, but mostly it's been terrible. 2004, I remember thinking, oh my god, I can't even watch this. And but you know, I like some SmackDown eras. It just seemed like a really light show, and I'm just wondering if they have enough people to split this in half and it for not to look light. You know, that was what it felt like the first Raw after the draft in 2002. It felt like a lighter show. It didn't have as many wrestlers. Plus the viewers thinking about the fact that they have less wrestlers and they're analyzing it. I may be a little bit, maybe I'm thinking too far into it.
Yeah, it could go so many different ways. We'll see. I think that the drama is building. No one knows what's going on. I don't even know if the WWE does, and we sure know that the talent doesn't, because they are not going to tell the talent where they're going to be drafted in advance. So they're all going to be sitting like the rest of us, waiting to find out what show they get drafted in. So once again, the live SmackDown starts July 19th. That is the date of the draft. Expect an announcement of who's going to run maybe Raw and SmackDown. Probably that Monday, I suppose.
I guess so. Shane and Stephanie will run it.
Pop that rating. I really enjoy the fact that whenever Shane is on and Stephanie isn't, and when Stephanie's on and Shane isn't, that they both play their card. But Stephanie once again is just great on the mic once again. And I want to talk to you at some point about having a Stephanie show, because she did have a live Facebook broadcast recently answering questions. She's trying to write a book, which is going to be superb, talking about her love life with Triple H, which
is
part of it, apparently, the love story that she disclosed about. But so
are they actually like lovers, you think?
it's not just an angle.
I don't know anymore. I can't figure anything out. The basketball game looks fake. The football game looks
Everything
fake.
Looks fake. You never
why, know. Why would I think that's real?
I don't know. But we will talk about that. Now, on the same lines as a WWE draft, we are also talking about the WWE pay-per-view schedule. We were going to talk about it last week, but word is that they're going to be doing multiple pay-per-view events for each brand, as the brand has separated themselves, you know, with their roster split. So, Stephen, I understand the Clash of Champions is making a return, replacing Night of Champions and much more. Do you have a list of those names for the pay-per-view events?
Somewhat. Here's what Father said. SummerSlam's the 21st, 2 days after my... Oh, wait, I can't say that. It's on the 21st of August at the Barclays Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 11th, September 11th, they're going to do Backlash in Richmond. So that's, you know, 3 weeks later. Okay.
Because Backlash used to be right after WrestleMania.
Right. That's right. And it was a pretty fucking great pay-per-view. A lot of Backlashes are great. Mm-hmm. Back, I'm talking about in the good period. Mm-hmm. And then 2 fucking weeks after that, that's the third pay-per-view in 5 weeks. They're going to do Clash of the Champions in Indianapolis, which I think will be headlined by Lex Luger versus Ric Flair for the NWA title.
And Ole Anderson rolling into Indianapolis. That's awesome.
And Ole Anderson will book it.
Book that shit.
He'll book Brian Pillman to lose. 2 weeks after that, did you hear what I just said? Two weeks. They're going to do a SmackDown pay-per-view in Sacramento on the 9th of October.
Which is called
No Mercy.
Oh, geez.
Because at this point, there's no mercy on us, because that's 7 weeks in 4 pay-per-views. SummerSlam, Backlash, Clash of the Champions, No Mercy. 4 shows, 7 weeks.
That's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Live WWE, folks. Think about it. Man. Live WWE. And, oh, can you imagine if they change the set for SmackDown, how it's going to affect...
This is what's funny. They're going to have to push Nakamura to win the SmackDown title, because everyone's going to get hurt. Think about it. Nakamura knows how to not get hurt. He's a very clever devil.
By the way, so does Chris Jericho, by the way. And
yeah, it's correct.
I wish we had those Japan gigs videotaped, because I'd love to see those matches. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, So that is a lot, folks, to digest. And in this era of the network special, this may be once again a way for them to make sure people see and subscribe and get them hooked with new content every 2 weeks. We're going to have to rethink how we do our shows, because we usually do a picks show, and now I feel like we just need to just basically hop on the phone and do it like we did last time, because we have so many damn pay-per-views coming up.
But because I can do that while baking a cake and doing other things, getting the candles ready.
Did you like that show? It was a different show, wasn't it? It was different.
I did. What was difficult about listening back is you can hear me huffing and puffing, because I'm walking around doing like stuff while I'm recording it. So I'm like, and Rusev.
Sounds like you were pushed. Working out. You could have been working out during that time.
That's why Titus O'Neil will never win. And then just to wrap it up, once I'll just jump ahead. Once they do Survivor Series, that will be a joint brand show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just to be specific, SummerSlam joint brand, Clash of the Champions, Backlash is SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Clash of the Champions is Raw. No Mercy is SmackDown. Hell in the Cell is Raw. Joint brand is Survivor Series. That's November 20th. That's the only little lull. That's 3 weeks. That's in Toronto, so that should be a killer show, by the way. Unless they blow it. 2 weeks later, SmackDown TLC pay-per-view. Okay?
Oh, Lord.
And then 2 weeks later, it's in Dallas. 2 weeks later, Roadblock from Pittsburgh. And then it's fucking Christmas. That, think about, did you hear all that?
Yeah, man.
Did you hear all that from October, November, December? That's 70 shows. Not quite 70. I mean, that's a lot of, that's a lot of, you know, Usos matches. Allegedly.
That's a lot of, that's a lot of burial of the club, right?
Ugh, the club. Hey, did you see Becky Lynch with a Bullet Club hat on? She had a Bullet
Club. I love that. I love
on,
that.
On Twitter.
Hey, you know what else I love, by the way? That just to say, I will say this, the SmackDown has been good over the past few weeks.
They're really?
The I thought the shows it, and their main events have been okay, you know?
I guess because it's a lame duckish period, so they're just putting on, you know, basic matches, but that's better.
Yeah, it is better. And it looks, you know, I was impressed by last week in the last, actually the last 2 weeks of SmackDown. It's been really cool.
Well,
but yeah, it's amazing how, you know, it's just amazing how this is going on. I mean, that is a lot of pay-per-views, folks.
Dude, it's a shitload of pay-per-views. And, I mean, my God, I don't know how I can take all that. So you better get Nakamura and Finn Balor and Alpha Omega Kingdom Come, American Alpha, and all of these guys up. And you better get Bayley, and you better do it now. And, you know, NXT is a completely new show. Again, is a great idea. It's a great idea. You know, make Johnny Wrestling the champion. You know,
I don't have a problem with that. You know what? Those guys can go, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. You know, make it look like Evolve. It will not bother me.
No, me, yeah.
It already starting to look like Evolve, actually.
Yeah. And that's okay.
I'm just waiting for Chris Hero to do a pile driver while Dave Meltzer takes notes in the front.
Make sure it's done on the table, you know, via Ric Flair / you know, Chainsaw Charlie. Let's do that.
Can we do that? Oh, man. Well, that's one of the best spots ever, don't you think?
Absolutely it is. That's what I'm saying, you know. Just
Flair,
go
claim, Flair claims he didn't tell him about that. Do you believe that?
No.
He said, come to the outside. So you're just going to let someone do that?
Yeah, why not?
One of them Japan tables that don't break, too.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, Japan knows how to build a good picnic table. So,
yeah, those tables are rough.
Well, I cannot wait to see what happens with the roster and all of this. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the superstars are striving for hugely competitive matches.
Yes.
You know, this is not the era of, yes, you know, when superstars like Ric Flair said, yes, the travel was hellaciously bad back in the day.
Brutal.
Trying to go from one place to another, but they're just not doing, you know, chop, slap, you know, belly to belly suplex, you know, one high spot being a superplex off the top rope, you know, that would be the high spot of the night.
Right.
That, if that.
Maybe, you know, probably
maybe,
not.
Maybe, you know, these are guys and gals that are literally folding themselves in half every single day. I just don't understand how they can do it on a constant grind as they do. But it will give an opportunity, like I said, for character development and more. And
fresh matchups, that'll be the good thing.
Fresh, that's right. Fresh matchups. That's exactly it.
Well, so, Aljon, does that wrap up that portion of the show?
It totally wraps up that portion of the show.
Well, then I would like to go use the bathroom.
Okay, good.
That's why I said that.
Use the restroom.
Maybe you could play like Martika right here.
Okay.
Can we talk about Martika for the next segment?
Now we can talk about Martika if you want. Are we going to take another Martika break? Shall I play another Martika song?
Yeah, play her other hits. Oh.
Weather. Okay, maybe all we shouldn't play
Martika. Hold on. I have some things to say about playing Toy Soldiers at the beginning of the live show, though. Okay, hold on. I really do have to, so hold on.
Okay, go for
it. It's affecting what I say. Last week we were talking about Martika. No, we weren't. You played Martika Toy Soldiers. That was a huge hit in 1989. It was her only hit. But, you know, it really made sense because do you know what that song's about?
No.
That song's about, you know, drugs, you know, taking over someone and saying, you know, we all fall down like toy soldiers. So I kind of thought it was interesting. It's kind of dealt with, we're talking about Roman Reigns and all these people having issues. But I actually did make, I don't know if I've showed you this, I actually did make a picture based on the song. And as you see, I've put the lyrics next to it. Step by step, heart to heart, mm-hmm. left, right, left, we all fall down like toy soldiers.
Nice. Look at you. Look at you. Yeah, I think I'm going to play some Kids Incorporated in that little break. I think that was hilarious.
That's a good song.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's play that.
So, my wife does not have drug issues. I just like to provoke her with
it's a pretty song. I mean, I bought the single back in the day.
Did you?
I did, actually.
I think it's a good song. I don't think Martika is a good singer. I just, you know.
I think it is. She's kind of a wreck, allegedly.
Allegedly. So, that's allegedly. We don't know that, but she seems like it.
So we're going to be playing the Ric Flair promo for our promo of the week from the very last Nitro. WWE just put out all the old Nitros on, and they just finished putting it on there. Maybe we should go through and talk about, at some point, do a show about our favorite WCW moments, whether it be matches or promos or things that change, or top five, because we hadn't done a top five show in a long time.
Yeah, Steve Regal versus Prince Iaukea. There you go. Boom.
There you go.
The only moment you need.
The artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea. Yeah. I just recently saw the match between Buff Bagwell and DDP with Kimberly Page as the guest referee, and it was horrible.
What they've done that? Wait, which one was it? They've done that match, but what?
Yeah, that was the one where Dallas thought that Kimberly was cheating on him with Bagwell.
Oh God!
This was literally January of 2001.
Okay, so maybe we could talk a little bit about that period of time if you wanted to.
Yeah, we can talk just briefly about it, yeah.
Because briefly, the WWE Network has done a drop. So now, apparently, allegedly, they have all of the Nitros up. Oh, wait, I don't have to say allegedly. So the really interesting period of time is right before they collapse. Now, 2000 is honestly, I'm not lying to anyone, it's the worst string of episodes and pay-per-views I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
This is Vince Russo literally on top of the card. I don't know if people know he wrote it and he sucked, but if you watch him back, he is literally on top of the card, beating up Booker T with baseball bats, not submitting to Ric Flair's figure four. It's knocking up Stacy Keibler. I mean, it's very obvious looking back that he was trying to make a name for himself individual way, because he had an inferiority complex about not getting about not getting credit in the press for what he had done in 97 and 98, 99 on Raw, which he deserved. And that's why, to me, that year is so awful. But the interesting period is after he is officially let go, they have this really, you know, sort of strange period of time from late maybe November, December, then to January, February, March, and then they're gone, where they're, I guess they're sort of lame duck shows. And the show's actually not too bad. Ric Flair's the figurehead heel, you know, evil GM guy. And I believe the group was called the Magnificent Seven. Mm-hmm. And it had Scott Steiner was a champion. And he was a great champion as a heel. Who'd you have? Luger. Yeah. Bagwell was in there. Jeff Jarrett was in there. Adesia, if you remember her, and a couple other people that and Animal from the Road Warriors, but not Hawk, was in the group. It was a very weird period.
It was their version, if you're into TNA, of the main event mafia.
It felt about the same as that, actually.
Yeah, you had Scott Steiner, Adesia, Rick Steiner, Jeff Jarrett, Luger, Bagwell, and Animal.
Right, Rick Steiner was the one I couldn't remember. And those are all guys that they were paying a lot of money to. Mm-hmm. You know, you got like Rick Steiner, you know, Luger. Well, you know, they're paying him money, so you had to try to use him. And then all of the baby faces. Oh my God, I got back to where I was trying to think about saying. And then all the baby faces were DDP, and then, you know, Sting and Goldberg had been taken out. Who were some of the other baby faces? Sid was gone. Sid was taken out.
They took him out.
His leg got taken out. That was
He sure did. They took out Chronic. they took out the Page, the insiders, not the outsiders. Nash and Page were the insiders.
Right.
You had Ernie Miller, you had Chronic, who else did get rid of? Sid Vicious, of course, he took himself out with his busted leg.
Terrible.
The worst thing ever.
Yes.
But yeah, it was just
And then Booker T was the last babyface around. So Booker won the title on the very last episode, and really he's the only guy that got a push at all because he took the buyout contract and then they kind of pushed him. I mean, he was at SummerSlam. So think about this. Booker T's, you know, in the midst of a terrible WCW, in the midst of their card, having, you know, losing championship matches. And then by the summer, he main events against The Rock at SummerSlam. Now, he did job, but that's the one guy I thought did pretty good out of the buyout.
Yeah, well, that's because he made it known to Vince that he was ready to work.
He's like, I'm not like Kevin Nash, no offense. I want to go to work. I'm not like Hulk Hogan. Put me to work. I'm on a roll right now.
Or Goldberg, for that matter.
Well, if you listen to Goldberg on Steve Austin's podcast, it was a two-part show. You know, Goldberg is Goldberg. You know, why? You know, there's no reason for him to go wrestle and do that stuff. Goldberg's a football player. You know, that's what he is. Goldberg wanted to be, you know, Jack Lambert, but it didn't work out. You know, he got busted up and they couldn't do it. So he became an incredibly popular wrestler. So, you know, Goldberg's time had come and gone. I don't see how they were going to rehabilitate him, by the way, in this period of time. I don't think it was all the I don't think it was so much that they turned him heel for a brief period of time. I think it's that he had title matches and then he would keep losing. Or, right. by nefarious means or DQ, but they were like, okay, you're not going to. And then the crowd bought, you know, stopped buying anything. And this is all leading to this. The idea was that Eric Bischoff, who's a very savvy business guy, got all these investors together. They got together, I'm going to guess, I think it was $80 million. The group was called Fuchsiant, and they were going to buy WCW. And at this point, in January or February, they were doing due diligence, going over the paperwork. You know, it's something a business does when they buy another business, where they just go over everything and kind of make sure. And he was going to close down the show for a month, okay? Mm-hmm. Nitro would have been off the air for a month, and then all the baby faces and would come back with a brand new set, new music, new characters, fresh start, new owner, Eric Bischoff, we're back. We're pushing the cruiserweights. We're doing everything right, right? The Death of WCW is a great book. The guy from WrestleCrap and Brian Alvarez wrote it together. It's a great book about this period of time. It's really the only book that really can – is very specific about
it. It's been updated too. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I got the new version. I love the book. It's my favorite wrestling book. It's so funny. They have a TNA section in it, which I could maybe read a couple of the things. They say, you won't believe they did this, and they listed all this stuff. It's funny. Great book. Check it out. So they're going to buy it and da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da-da. Okay. $80 million. Jamie Kellner comes in as they merge Time Warner. Okay. And all of this stuff. Everything's AOL. Time Warner merges. Jamie Kellner's the new guy in charge of content. He comes into the first day meeting and says, I don't like wrestling being on TNT. We're going to go ahead and cancel it. And when he said that, that ended everything. That was the moment everything ended. That boardroom meeting with this new guy, Jamie Kellner, you know, that ended everything. So now Bischoff doesn't have a TV deal, and it falls through. And that's how Vince McMahon bought the company for literally $4 million. But
imagine that. Me, Vince McMahon. Imagine that. Here I am on WCW television. How can that happen? Well, there's only one way. You see, it was just a matter of time before I, Vince McMahon, bought my competition. That's right. I own WCW. So therefore, in its final broadcast tonight on TNT, I have the opportunity to address you, the WCW fans. I have an opportunity to address you, the WCW superstars. What is the fate of WCW? Well, tonight, in a special simulcast, you'll all find out. Because the fate, the very fate of WCW is in my hands.
$4 million. My God.
Can you imagine
that was revenue? An inside job?
Well, look at the revenue stream.
But do you think that was an inside job for real? Come on.
I do.
Somebody was hooking that up.
Somebody.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
That evil bastard did something.
Yeah, somebody said had some plant put something and say, you know, we're that's not where you should go. You know?
You know, we'll get rid of your stuff for you.
Yep.
We'll get rid of your problem. Kind of but Jamie Kellner. But the show had killed itself. You're a big wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you were VHS taping, as you say. I used to VHS tape them too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And when I went on tour with my band, I'd have my VHS programmed every Monday night to record while I was on the road with my band.
Was that Mink?
Yeah, we did all those world tours and stuff, and we toured around. And when we were gone for a month at a time, I would VHS tape all the Nitros. You know, when I was gone. And
oh my God, then you'd have to watch 8 hours of that awful Nitros.
I know. Yeah, I was actually more of a WCW mark back in the day than I was a WWF mark at the time. Me too. Just because I was a big mark for Sting, Booker T, the man that will go unnamed. A lot of those in the cruiserweight division, Eddie Guerrero at the time, I was a big fan, Rey Mysterio. That was exciting to me. And it's not that I didn't like Stone Cold, because, dude, Stone Cold, I'm a huge Stone Cold fan.
Come on, man.
Stone Cold Austin, love Rock, love Mankind. But when it came down to just pure wrestling action, I feel like I could have read and got snippets of WWF programming at the time. But WCW, I really wanted to see the wrestling action, because that's really what I tuned in to see back in the late 90s and 2000s. So.
For me, I was, drawn back into my childhood and watching Tully Blanchard fight Magnum TA in 1985. Mm-hmm. And now it's 2001 and Booker T's fighting Scott Steiner. So I had a very clear line in my head to that period of time. And that's why I kept watching it. And we were, when they were talking when we started about the episode where it all switched, I felt so sad because I hated the show. I thought it had gotten absolutely terrible, and it did. You can watch them back.
It sucks. It breaks my heart.
But it broke my heart because I'm like, it's not on there. I can't just flip over and see some dumb Jeff Jarrett squash or, I think the death of WCW was pushing Jeff Jarrett. I really think that had a lot to do with it. I mean, watch the episodes. He's all over the place. He's constantly winning. He's pushed too hard. That being said, It made me so sad, though. And it's like, I don't have this show anymore. And it's like, don't know what you got till it's gone. Just like Cinderella saying, I know some of those guys. I shouldn't make fun of him. He's a great.
No. It's all right.
Great. All right. One of the best glam bands ever. And, I felt like really sad. And then right after that, they turned Austin heel. So it was then Austin and Triple H were fighting Undertaker and Kane, and then there was no other show. And I'm like, oh, shit, this sucks. And that's when wrestling started going down. Look at that date. The minute they bought it, it went downhill. And why do I trust people like Father, David Meltzer? Why do I trust Father with his information? Go back to the Observers in 2001. You know what he says?
What did he say?
He said, oh, shit, I'm going to have to find something else to do, because now the wrestling industry is going to take a huge nosedive, probably starting next year, and then continually go down until.
There you go.
Until they found John Cena, who's in. No, but I mean, that's the best thing to do. That's the best thing to do.
Wait. Do we have another? Wait.
John Cena versus Booker T. Okay, so.
So anyway, I got sound effects here.
Yeah, is it Steve Austin? So is it Steve Austin versus Kurt Angle? No, it's John Cena versus the French guy. So that's the main event.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
That was the moment. And he knew it. And why? Why? Because the brand split didn't work.
There's so many factors. It's a fascinating study, yes. And now WWE Network has all of the Nitro episodes up, and I've been slowly watching him, and I started backwards with the last year, 2001, and it's brutal. It's real brutal. You were telling me now, as all the faces were disappearing, you said that there was going to be a reboot, and there was actually a website actually launched. If you go back in the Wayback Time Machine website, you can actually see the old the relaunched WCW. Did you see that? The relaunch?
It's like WCW a ghost. Graph? It's like a ghost website, right? Kind of like it's still around, but it's not monitored website.
Yeah.
It's pretty spooky. You go in there. But, yeah, they were going to relaunch it. And, God, what were they going to do? They were trying to get somebody. It was like it would have really worked if they could have got him. I can't remember who it was. But they were going to try to really sign somebody for big money, just one guy. I can't remember who it was. If it was Triple, actually, I couldn't have been Triple H, but yeah, you never know. It might have turned it all around. But I don't have a lot of faith in Bischoff, which is weird because he did so great in 95, 96, 97. But it's the same thing. Once you go on TV and start doing all this shit, it like fucks your brain up. Bill Watts, it didn't affect. You have to be really strong to handle it. A guy like Bill Watts could do it. A guy like McMahon could do it. But you still put yourself in matches. But something happened to Bischoff and definitely Russo where they were on TV. They wanted to be – they got into that frame of mind. I'm not a promoter or a writer or a booker. I'm a star. I'm Stardust. I'm Dusty Rhodes, baby. You know, Dusty's the ultimate example in NWA. Watch the old episodes. He's beat up like five or six people at once. The Four Horsemen, he would, you know, and because he wanted to be the star as well as the booker. And that's what killed off WCW, I'm telling you, and pushing Jeff Jarrett and Jamie Kellner.
it's definitely good stuff to see for sure. And looking back, I'm just kind of floored at it because, you know, we talk about how bad some of the new stuff that we see in WWE was, and then when you compare it to WCW of that era, or even some early WWF post the purchase, it's pretty interesting. So
very weird period of time, and look what happened. You had The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, you had Steve Austin versus Ric Flair, and Vince and Ric Flair fighting over the company that had a draft. And then literally 2 years later, you got John Cena versus the French guys, the main event of SmackDown. Literally 2 years later. Look it up. What was the French guy's name? He had drug problems, allegedly, although he admits it now. Jean Dupree.
Oh, yeah. Jean Rene. Part of it. Yeah.
Rene Dupree.
Rene Dupree.
Yeah. Drug issues, big time.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I wasn't a really big fan of.
He was very young though.
La Resistance. The guy looked like a million bucks. I mean, the guy was, you know, looked like a million bucks, but yeah, I had no idea. But you know,
yeah, a lot of shoots on him. He's very interesting guy. He talks a lot about the bullet. Remember, he got beat up by Bob Holly. I like Bob Holly. He's nice to me and my wife. Maybe Renee had some issues. I don't know.
Yeah. We're going to continue on. I will say this, though, and I hadn't said this. You know, speaking of the olden days of Raw,
right,
and Nitro even, and looking back on some of the old shows, it's so funny, you know, this past week, WWE Raw was celebrating the fact that it had a global partnership with Special Olympics, which they've had a very long-term relationship with Special Olympics. And I really appreciate the fact that they are doing that because it's a great, great cause. It's a great cause. They're great athletes in the Special Olympics. I'm all about it. But that is such a corporate thing versus the edgier programming they used to do. And the one thing that, once again, that is kind of preventing WWE from reaching out to an older demographic is the fact that they are so corporate friendly.
They are.
Being a corporate friendly entity means that you cannot do certain angles that are brutal, that show brutality, that show ruthless aggression. You know, we even go back to that era of where the French guy and John Cena were fighting. Even that era, there was still some brutality involved in that. And you just can't do it, you know, these days with all these corporate sponsors. And it once again leads back to the fact that WWE can't hang on to that 3 hour program period because other people want grittier stuff to watch.
Yeah.
In that last period. So
I don't know if the grittier stuff really would help them now, but I, you know, that's something I've heard debated.
No, but it does lead me to this. So I was thinking to myself, what could WWE do to gain more? And I'm thinking, well, they created NXT out of nothing. Why couldn't they create an edgier brand of wrestling that is really dark, that they could put parental advisories on? And do they, and you know, maybe they show like Raw After Dark or something like that, or WWE After Dark or something like that, where it showcases darker storylines and stuff. You know, they could if they wanted to. I mean, it's a lot of programming to have, and I know they can't, but can you imagine a darker, separate universe where they have other things, or maybe they explore other facets of their feuds in a darker tone for the WWE network?
It wouldn't work because, like, they would have a dark storyline, and then they'd right after they'd show a commercial of John Cena with Special Olympic kids.
Yeah,
I know they would do that. He's like, "Well, Special Olympian is my hero."
Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't showcase WWE talent, but you know, I mean, if they could, you know, because if network restrictions are part of it, maybe they can establish their own dark brand of stuff, and that would be an interesting way of getting, if talent needed to take a break to refresh your character, to go and do a separate brand instead of like WWE, it'd be like, you know, Evolve or something where it would be dark, and they could retool their character and come out fresh with an edge, and they could do that for 6 months, and they can rotate talent in and out in order to do this really cool show, you know?
I think it would be a good idea. You could have Vampiro be the host, you know, or something like that.
Call it Lucha Underground.
You could have a guy take off like a spaceship into the sky.
Yeah, you could do that.
You know, but I do like your idea. I just wonder if they would do it because they're so focused on
so many programming now they can't even.
Yeah, and then they, you know, that's why Roman Reigns is being pushed still. And if you still watch Raw, I know I don't, but I heard a rumor that they tried to use his, you know, his drug use as a means to get him over by having Rollins harp on I hate how Rollins cuts promos, by the way.
he does that.
Like, shut up. I really dislike his character sometimes. Whoops, I said it. He's much slower than he used to be, too, by the way.
Snively, little snidely character.
Snidely. Kind of looking guy and greasy hair. But now he's a step slower, you know. I don't know. They fucked him up, perhaps, with having him come out as a heel. What were you about to say?
I was just going to simply move on. I was going to say our boy Ric Flair.
Oh God,
is recently resurfaced. Starting Wednesday, July 6th, Woo Wednesdays will be debuting on MLW Radio and at RicFlairShow.com. Conrad Thompson, our friend, previously hosted Woo Nation on CBS's Play It, will be joining that platform. Conan exited, and now Ric Flair enters, which is hilarious because once again, Ric Flair has no love for Conan.
Yes.
Anytime there's a
Conan was a bigger star. Conan was a bigger baby face in Mexico than almost at any time Ric Flair was, except for 1998. Just throwing that out there. Sorry.
No, that's true.
You know,
but
we all need to respect each other, you know.
They don't.
Clearly.
And Ric Flair coincides with Conan's exit, as I said. Chris Jericho is having fun with a Podcast One. That's where Conan is joining Podcast One. But it is interesting to see because Court Bauer, of course, is a great dude, and it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah,
once again, Woo Wednesday's return to MLW Radio, and we'll see if the shenanigans will continue on that.
Okay, now here's what I've heard. I hear that they have recorded an episode already. With I think it was Bill Eady from Demolition. Maybe it's the other guy from Demolition. Bill Eady has a really interesting story about a near-death experience. We'll see if he tells it. I saw him do it on Hannibal TV. I just wanted to say this real quick. Quick plug. Hannibal TV on YouTube. It comes out of the Great White North promotion that Hannibal, who's a developmental guy for a while, it comes out of Canada. They have some of the best shoots on YouTube. Really well filmed. He obviously has a good camera. And Bill Eady told us really great near-death experience story on Hannibal TV shoot that I'm hoping he does on the Ric Flair podcast. That being said, all Conrad has to do now is upload it, and the show will be on time. So I've got a strong feeling that the first show will be on time. That's my big news.
Well, that's a secret of having a Ric Flair podcast, is you have to make sure a bunch of them are in the can with these interviews before you...
Like
you
six or seven. Like,
yeah, because you never know when he'll take a whole month off.
to allegedly do things.
Yeah, right. So WWE just finished up with their tour of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And Shinsuke Nakamura was actually on the main roster for those WWE live events. How about that?
Just well,
really quick, because it looks like Nakamura and Owens went at it, and I heard it was a pretty damn good match.
I saw a pretty damn good Nakamura-Owens match in Ring of Honor in 2013, maybe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they work really good together. So I'm really pissed that it wasn't on the network for me to see.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. Owens continues his losing streak against Nakamura. You know, I'm interested to see what happens on the main roster with their 50-50 booking, because my man don't really do a whole lot of jobs. I've pointed this out before.
Well, I'll be honest. You know, they're in Japan, so they wanted to have that happen. Not to mention Cena and the Usos with the club was also there, part of the main event as well. And then Chris Jericho also wrestling at that time too, main eventing. It looked like those live events were just off the chain with all those.
I know.
I mean, I would see that. And then Asuka was also there too, defending the NXT championship, which was great. So you had your two top Japan superstars. I think that's really cool though, because, you know, as like, even when they went to India or they went to China, you know, you have all these superstars that are respective names in their countries of origin, headlining those particular house shows, which are great. So,
yeah, I wish it would have been in the network. They did Jericho Nakamura, right? That's another one I would have.
Jericho Nakamura. They even did, I think they even did Finn Balor versus Jericho, I think. Or,
oh my God.
I think they did. Or Finn Balor, or is it Finn Balor versus Nakamura? They may have done that as well. But they had a bunch of different live events.
And I didn't think Finn Balor was on the tour. I'll be honest. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, well, I'll look. Maybe I just got that confused with his Instagram posts. But,
well, Balor should, you know, Balor, spoiler alert. Did everybody hear that? Okay. Balor and Nakamura have what I hear live was a 4-star match, which may come across 4.25 on TV. Sometimes that happens. And Nakamura went over and Balor said his goodbyes to the NXT crowd. So he'll definitely be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
This obviously sets up, spoiler alert, Nakamura. I said this a month ago, but Nakamura against Samoa Joe going to happen at the big show at the Barclays.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with that. But, hey, if you want Samoa Joe to come up, you could have Nakamura be the champ. I mean, they love him more than almost every other star combined in NXT ever. It's the same amount. I mean, he can do no wrong. They love him. That bratty-ass crowd, doesn't matter. They love him.
They do. They do. We're going to wrap some things up right now. Any closing words, news, tidbits, or whatnot, Steven?
I watched a really great match just a week ago. It was Will Ospreay and Okada against Bushi and my favorite wrestler, Naito. And I just really great. I mean, they didn't even do a lot in the match, and it was still awesome. I just want to keep saying that Tetsuya Naito,
yep,
my favorite wrestler right now. This guy is so fucking great. He is such a great character. I just love him. I love his character.
I tell you what we're going to talk about really quick, because we do have a couple minutes left, is the Fight TV app. I've got it right here.
I knew
we meant to review that. This review time. The Fight TV app, I finally downloaded it. I turned you on to it, and it's pretty awesome. So, once again, if people are not able to watch Ring of Honor, you can watch Ring of Honor here for free.
It just uploaded a new one. Yeah, just uploaded a new one last night.
So you can check out the Fight TV app. I will definitely suggest that you do it. The great thing about this app is if you download it, and if you have a Roku player too, like you and I both have Rokus, you can just shoot it. Yeah, you can just. Oh, you have several? That's good.
Yeah, I keep buying them.
Yeah, well, they're great.
I love Roku.
It's fun, right? You can put one in your house, every room in the house. But you can just go ahead and just shoot that that video right on over, which is really cool, onto your TV if you have that Roku. And you can watch whatever what you want to watch on your phone, you can shoot it to your smart TV.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Plus TNA highlights and it, the final deletion, which is on for TNA, which I have to say, I might actually watch this.
You got to be kidding me.
Because the promo just looks so out there because, I mean, there's fireworks being shot into the ring, pyrotechnics, ladders, Matt Hardy diving off a tree.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
I mean, it just looks interesting to me. So.
It's the best thing TNA has done in several years, honestly. I do think Matt Hardy's characters, I think he understands how silly it is, and he's going forward with it in a tongue-in-cheek sort of way. It is very clever in a weird way. It is, if you think about how poorly edited he did the unedited version of the original thing where they had the stuff and the gardener and all that crap.
The Hardy edition, Cribs edition.
Yes.
The baby. The
baby, right. Thing. Yeah, all of it. But the piano. If you think about it, the idea that he edited it and put it on TV as that idiot character makes sense that it would be edited like that. So just think about it that way.
My question is, now he talks in the third person to like The Rock. Brother Nero. So he's Brother Nero.
No. Jeff is Brother Nero.
Jeff is Brother Nero, but he's, well.
It's hard to configure where. Hey, listen, here's what I have to say. CMLL is on. I can't talk about that guy. CMLL, too long. The CMLL is on here. That's the exciting. Now, La Sombra came from CMLL. And just a quick closing thought. They have blown CN Almas, whatever his name is, so far. La Sombra was much better, and he was on CMLL and Atlantis and all the fun stuff. So try to check those out on the Fight TV app. You can actually watch those for free. There's a lot of stuff to get for free on here, so you can download it. Something like Ring of Honor, Best in the World, or Slammiversary. Of course, you have to pay their pay-per-views. They're $35, $39, whatever. But you also have stuff like Evolve. Evolve 62 is $14.99, for example. And that's got Timothy Thatcher against Chris Hero. And that means that that's better than Slammiversary. That's what that means.
You even have our friends, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So you can check out our friends from AfterBuzz TV on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which is actually a well-produced show. I like it.
They have Chainsaw Championship Wrestling or whatever too on there. But Ring of Honor 250 just got uploaded. I think the best thing about it is you can watch the weekly Ring of Honor show. And you don't have to actually 250 is coming up. Let's see. So those drop on Monday night around 6 o'clock. That's actually when those drop. Episode 249 was the Women of Honor show, and Crazy Mary was on it. So she watched Crazy Mary on the Roku player. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
I like Crazy Mary.
Mary's fine.
You know what else they also have? They also have a interesting movies and documentaries there that are free. As well, they do have like the old Beyond the Mat wrestling doc in there and some other stuff in there.
They have a Barry Darso shoot.
Yeah, some interesting things for sure. So please check that out. I definitely suggest you check out the Fight TV app, and I give it a thumbs up. Where else can you find a conduit for all of this independent wrestling and stuff that is not WWE? Stuff that you can watch for free. But it does, the only drawback is it does require you to have a Wi-Fi signal. So if you want to stream a lot of that stuff and you don't have a Wi-Fi network to tether to, I won't let you use it. So
if you don't have a Wi-Fi signal, I don't,
Yeah.
What's going on, you know?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. Well, anyway, thank you, Stephen. Once again, what's your Twitter address so people can follow you?
Dr. Death Mark, the official mark of Naito and Dr. Death.
Very good. At Aljon Rocks for me, at P Wrestling Cast, Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook. You can also follow us, Pro Wrestling Cast for everything, ProWrestlingCast.com. And once again, all of our sponsors and affiliates are on there. We leave you with our wrestler promo of the week, Ric Flair, the final night of WCW Nitro. not WCW Naito, but Nitro. Uh-huh. That happened March 26th of 2001. One of our favorite promos ever. Ric Flair goes on this tirade. You'll enjoy it as much as we do. It is one of his classic promos. So enjoy that. In the meantime, don't forget to tuck your head, and we will see you next time. Rick, I'm looking at Ric Flair, and Rick Bockwinkle, Nick Bockwinkle.
Hey, listen. Eternal ramifications of hellfire, Jerry Lawler.
All right. On that note, we'll see you next week.
Promo of the week.
Listen to that, would you? That could only mean one thing. Who means more to WCW? Who means WCW anymore than the man you're watching take that long walk? Here on Monday Nitro, it is the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Who represented World Championship Wrestling above all others? Whose face was identified with WCW more than any other? The man stepping into the ring, the 14-time world heavyweight champion, the one and only, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
What are his opinions of the statements from Mr. McMahon earlier? Maybe we're going to find out right now.
What's going through his mind?
You know, Scott, for so long we talked about new ownership of WCW. We never thought this would happen.
Neither did he.
Did I? Woo! Did I happen to hear Vince McMahon say he was going to hold WCW in the palms of his hands? Is that what he said? Does that mean that you are going to hold Jack Briscoe, Dory Funk, Harley Race, the Road Warriors, Sting, Luger, the Steiners, Bagwell, Ric Flair, Steamboat? Does that mean you're going to hold us all in the palm of your hands? To coin a phrase, I don't think so. You know, at 12 o'clock today, someone very special to me said, do not go on that show tonight, knowing it's the last time that you'll ever be on TNT or TBS, knowing it's the last time. She said to me, don't go out there and cry. Don't go out there and say you're sorry, because I'm not. I've been 14 times the world champion. In my eyes, for the greatest, you got it, the greatest wrestling organization in the world, WCW. I'm talking about the Stings, the Lugers, the Steiners, the Road Warriors. I'm talking about my best friend, Arn Anderson, and the Four Horsemen. We have been on a par, and we have been equal to any wrestling organization in the world. As a matter of fact, we have run neck and neck with you, Vince McMahon, for years. For years. And just for trivia, Vince McMahon, do you know that in 1981, when you were trying to become an announcer, your dad was on the board of directors and voted for me to be the world champion. Woo! How about that? And ever since that day, I have been a limousine riding, jet flying, kissed son of a gun that along with the whole WCW, damn it all, have kissed the girls worldwide and made them cry. Did you see? We were every bit the force. We were WCW. We lived, we breathed, we sweat, we paid the price to be the best. It's never been about the boys. It's always been WWE versus WCW. In the office, the boys that have gone out there night in and night out doing everything they could to be the very best at what they chose to do in their life. Those boys are here tonight. We are. We're not going anywhere. You can't hold us in your hands and predict our life. We're WCW. We bled and we sweat. When was the last time you wrestled for an hour, cut yourself five times, bled for 45 minutes? When were you there? You weren't. You weren't. You never were in a dressing room. On the road, 40 days and 40 nights, bleeding, sweating, going to the next town, you weren't there. You can't hold people's lives in your hands. We're the greatest wrestling company of all time. I want to say it again. You can't control us or our future. And in closing, let me say this. In all my years in this sport, my greatest opponent with this company has been Sting. So tonight, if we're going out, if we're going out on a high note, Stinger, the Nature Boy, wants you right here because that's right.
Oh my God,
that's right.
He wants Sting right here.
Sting, Sting, my greatest opponent. Sting, it's your last chance. Your last chance to be. Sting, 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 Sting. To be the man. You gotta beat the man. And Sting, I'm the man.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.